Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win!
Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Wednesday edition of the program live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. Just a reminder, if you can't join us live each day, make sure you tune in for the podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcast and SoundCloud as well. A lot going on out here. Recruiting is kind of at the forefront. Some big news yesterday we're going to get to in our headline segment in just a minute from the NCAA, but it does look like, pending on local health situations in different states and areas of the country, the NCAA, with support from the Coaches Association and others, is working toward approving two periods in August when college coaches would be able to hit the road and evaluate players. There are some other stumbling blocks. Obviously, the biggest is the health situation and what each state will allow as the virus still lingers, or in some case maybe is coming back with numbers increasing of positive cases each day. So we'll talk about that in the headline segment. And last night, the Nets piece, the News and Tribune Sports Performance Yearly Awards. Normally it's a big deal, a big public event. We're set up there with radio interviewing athletes and players. Obviously, it was a lot different this year because of COVID-19. It was basically a virtual online video-based performance or awards program last night, but still a great program. Lots of athletes from Clark and Floyd counties recognized. Hats off to the News and Tribune, our great partners, for a job well done. And we'll recap some of the award winners from last night as well, coming up here in just a few moments and throughout our show today. Let's get into the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll update you on the fall recruiting calendar, which is just a proposal right now from the Division I Men's Basketball Oversight Committee. A little bit about tickets at IU for upcoming events, which is, I think, good news for sports being played, at least a plan for sports to be played this fall in Bloomington. And Will Lovings Watts, Jeffersonville player, has picked up a scholarship offer, I believe his second Division I offer. We'll tell you who it's from coming up here in just a few moments in our headline segment. We'll cover all of that and more here in opening segment number one. Later in the program, Dustin Dopierak, formerly of The Athletic, he joins. We'll talk IU basketball. We'll talk some college hoops. A lot going on right now with this recruiting proposal for the fall, allowing coaches to get out a little bit. Again, if health and those situations allow events to be staged in different parts of the country. And then later in the program, Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, he'll be with us. Josh has been hard at work with the Netsby Awards. It's all in the books now. We know all the winners. Everyone was highlighted last night in an online ceremony, and we'll recap some of the winners and talk about that event and other local sports with Josh when he joins us later in the program. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out the dinner specials, dinner package deals at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Now being offered, you can get them as dine-in, pickup, and also curbside service with all the products at Honey Baked Ham. That is available all three ways available there, dine-in, pickup, or curbside service. And don't forget, 50% off all bone-in hams. That is still going on. It's a great deal, and it is for a limited time only at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. I tell you what, I went back and forth on fall sports, and I think a lot of people are teetering on, okay, maybe we're going to have fall sports. And then other times, as you see reports come in from various parts of the country or from various governors around the country or other events get canceled, you think, well, if they're canceling that, how are they going to play college football? But Indiana Athletics did send out an email this morning to students offering season, miniseries, and single-game tickets for IU football. So for now, it appears, and this is just the athletics department at IU doing what they've got to do, they are preparing for a football season to be played with some level of students and fans in the stands. And again, I'm sure they are monitoring, talking with other Big Ten schools, talking with conference and NCAA representatives as everybody tries to figure this out. But it is just going to be such an interesting time as we get back to sports. And I'm going to mention the NBA here in a few minutes in our headlines. But what happens if college football gets going? What happens if the NBA in the bubble in Orlando gets going, and then all of a sudden a team has a number of illnesses, a number of positive COVID cases? Is that team out for 1 week, multiple weeks, you would think at minimum, or do they pull the plug on the rest of the season? And how does that wreak havoc on a conference schedule or on postseason and on rankings and so many different things? I think we're in, no matter what happens, if sports are played in some form or fashion, and I think that they will be, we're going to have some very unique situations, because clearly they are expecting, officials, health officials are expecting a return of this virus when it gets more to the colder months. I saw Dr. Fauci yesterday said MLB returning would be great if they could figure out everything going on there, but they need to have the World Series done sometime in September. He would not suggest going into October or later because of a potential return of the virus that it sounds like a lot of the experts at least predict or expect to happen. Here's something related to the pandemic, too, in sports. It's just crazy. Just earlier this morning, Governor DeSantis in Florida said 260 workers at the Orlando International Airport have tested positive for the coronavirus. Nearly 500 employees were tested, 260 positive. Think about that. The NBA's got to get all these players and staff and essential personnel into the bubble in Orlando to quarantine them, to get them tested, to go through a lot of the processes that college athletics are going through right now to return their football and basketball teams to campuses for voluntary workouts coming up this month. There is another airport. I saw someone tweet out that Kissimmee Airport is about 20 minutes away from Walt Disney World. There's obviously an executive airport not far away either, but that's just one of the things you think about. These guys have to get back there. Here are 260 workers, not all there at the same time, but employed by the same building, in the same building, in the same facility, that have the coronavirus. And again, I don't know if that's strung out over a period of weeks and they're just now releasing those details, or if it all happened just immediately, but that's a lot of people in Orlando in a facility where you know that players and coaches, unless they're all coming into a private airport and private charters, are likely going to go through. And I'm sure at the NBA level, you know, a lot of them are going to go that way. I don't know if teams would fly in together if they meet in their host cities. I'm sure they're going to try to limit travel, even just to get to Orlando as much as possible. But that's just the kind of stuff that makes you think, what happens if they get into this bubble and they realize it's not going to work? They get into the season and there are too many cases that are being spread. Obviously, you've got to believe if they're going to do this, they've got like a 100-something page plan to return NBA basketball. You got to believe that they're prepared to handle some cases of the coronavirus and those protocols. And I think everyone and fans would understand if schedules change a little bit, or if a team has to take a pause for a week or two, or maybe bow out completely. But it just could create some crazy situations that normally in sports, when it comes to professional sports, college sports, even high school ran sports, a schedule is a schedule. Routines are routines. What happens is how it goes every year, and that's part of what makes it professional, what makes it special, what makes it not like any of the other amateur sports and, you know, smaller league sports or youth sports that go on where things can be pretty haphazardous at times. Normally, that's obviously not the case at the professional level, although it may very well be this year. Next headline is the fall recruiting calendar that's been proposed. And when it comes to Division I coaches, you talk about a fall recruiting calendar. Man, it's been a while since there have been opportunities in the fall, at least on the men's side of things, for D1 coaches to get out. Years back, there was a period in September when coaches could hit the road. There were a number of different events that were staged on a weekend, over one weekend, a lot like what happens in July and other times. But as of now, the Oversight Committee for Men's Basketball at the D1 level, they've put forth a proposal for a temporary fall recruiting period. And under the recommendations, teams would be allowed on August 15th and 16th, that's a Saturday and Sunday, to send just two coaches. Normally it would be, I think, three, but two coaches on their staff to NCAA non-scholastic certified events. Now, non-scholastic would mean Nike shoe event, Adidas shoe event, AAU basketball event, something that's not run by a school or by a high school association. These would be more AAU travel ball shoe circuit things, the type of events that are normally staged in April and July. Teams would also be allowed later in August, this is August 22nd and 23rd, to send two coaches out for scholastic certified events on that weekend. And again, those would be events like in Indiana, maybe the IBCA underclassmen workout would be that weekend. Maybe the Charlie Hughes shootout where you have New Albany, Jeff, Floyd Central, local high school teams going with their summer roster to play teams from other parts of Indiana with college coaches, D1, and at all levels in attendance. The issue with that second period with the scholastic school-based events is it's going to take some finagling of the rules of a lot of high school associations, because right now in Indiana, those type of games and scrimmages, that type of involvement would not be permitted in that time of August unless there is a waiver given. Now, Kentucky's rules, even more stringent, they can't do anything in basketball once school begins, other than I think maybe one type of camp that a kid can go to on a college campus. I forget the details in Kentucky. Nonetheless, it's going to take some rule changes in both Indiana and Kentucky for the scholastic events for that to be allowed, number one, and then some coordination from the IHSAA and I would assume the Coaches Association for those events to fall into that weekend to be scheduled, to be rescheduled from the summer, which they've been canceled, to that weekend. But kudos to the NCAA for putting a plan out there to at least get some exposure for some of the players that potentially have lost lots and lots of opportunities in the offseason to be seen. Who knows if it all happens? Who knows if Indiana, Kentucky, especially for that second period for scholastic events, are able to amend their rules for this year to provide some waivers for this year? Who knows how that goes? Also, who knows how the health situation goes? I think the thought is in the heat in August, things will still be reasonable with the virus, but you're talking about if these events happen, a lot of teams coming together, a lot of coaches coming together, college coaches, and if these are open to fans, you know, a lot of parents, when you've got facilities, high schools, basketball facilities, 3, 4, 5, 6 courts sometimes under one roof, unless you're really limiting the number of people that are allowed in the event, these places get jam-packed, especially when one round of games is ending, the next round of games is beginning. It can be wall-to-wall people in these facilities and in these gyms, and I've got to think that if they happen, that sort of situation just cannot be allowed to happen right now given the pandemic. Other headlines today, Will Lovings Watts of Jeffersonville, another scholarship offer. This is offer number 2 for him, and it comes from Wichita State. So another D1 offer. He now has Bradley and Wichita State getting a lot of interest. Indiana, Louisville, other schools are in contact with him, And we didn't seem for the last, month and a half of the high school season. We expect him to return for the high school season this year, and obviously we'll see how he's improved. I know lots of workouts, lots of things behind the scenes he's doing to get ready for the upcoming season and to keep himself ready to go to play college basketball at a high level when his high school career ends. But it's interesting to see Will now with a couple offers, but lots of other interest, and we'll see. He's one of those young players in our state. If he gets more opportunities this fall in some of these evaluation periods to get out and play, could he add quickly some additional offers to the two that he currently has? News and Tribune Sports Performance Yearly Awards last night. Lots of winners. We're going to highlight some of them now. Volleyball Player of the Year, Allie Hornung of Providence. What a career she has had. Winkers Wright is the Football Player of the Year. Winkers is from Floyd Central. He'll be back next fall for another season, we hope, for the Highlanders, and should be set to do some big things. No surprise that the Boys Basketball Player of the Year is underclassman Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek. Girls Basketball Player of the Year, Natalie Bozing of Providence. Boys Player of the Year, this is the overall Player of the Year, Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek Basketball. The Girls Overall Player of the Year, Allie Hornung of Providence Volleyball. Coach of the Year, Todd Sturgeon at Floyd Central Boys Basketball. Team of the Year, that's a tough one, but Silver Creek, the boys basketball team, wins that award as well. And also I saw that the Lifetime Achievement Award, it's went to some great people in our game over the years here locally with high school sports. The great Lee Kelly, Charlie Jenkins, Ted Throckmorton, and others have won that award. This year, another great recipient, Chris Morris, former News and Tribune assistant editor and writer who covered high school sports for many years, has been a fixture in our local media for many years and recently retired, resigned from that industry to take another job in the private sector. A very worthy winner is Chris Morris of the Lifetime Achievement Award. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Stay with us. Coming up in the next segment, we'll have Dustin Dopierak, formerly of The Athletic. We're going to talk IU basketball, college hoops, this fall recruiting proposal, and a lot more in the next segment. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program. Little change in plans. Dustin unavailable, but we have Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com for a chat on IU basketball and, of course, college hoops as well. Jeff, it's an interesting time because lots trying to be figured out what's going to happen with college football and, of course, beyond that, college basketball. But even in the upcoming time, the recruiting calendar, there's been a proposal for a fall recruiting period. Opportunities for D1 coaches to get out if some events can be staged with the pandemic going on and other potential issues with rules and state associations. But we could see an opportunity for Archie Miller and a couple IU coaches to get out in August to evaluate some prospects if this calendar that's been proposed is put into law, you could say.
Yeah, it's definitely an opportunity there, Matt. They're looking at basically four different weekends, two in August, two in September. Two would essentially be AU events, meaning travel teams. Two would be what they call scholastic events, meaning it has to be high school teams. But they're trying to get something put together to where coaches can go out and see players, which obviously is important. You can go back and watch high school film. You've probably already done that. Maybe there's some young kids who you haven't seen. You can watch some of their film. But still, coaches really need to see players in person. They need to see the makes and the misses, the assists and the turnovers. They need to see the good and the bad. They need to see when a coach is talking to them, they kind of looking off in the stands, or are they like looking the coach in the eye, paying attention? When they're on the bench, are they actually engaged in the game, or are they just sitting there you know, playing with their shoes and, you know, winking at, you know, their girl over there in the stands. There's a lot of things that coaches really want to see live. So I think it's important. And I think it's really good that they're trying to do everything possible within the realms of basic, you know, good health practices to try to get players on the court and allow coaches the opportunity to see them.
Jeff, I want to ask this. Obviously, we'd love to see all this work out. The health concern is at the top of the list of reasons that could play an issue here if all this is actually approved by the NCAA. But these scholastic events in Indiana and in other states as well, it could take a waiver or some adjustments, some cooperation from the state associations like the Indiana High School Athletic Association for some of this stuff to happen.
Yes, it certainly would. I think everyone's hope is that during this time, state high school associations will put what is best for the kids first, which is what they're supposed to be doing anyway. Because these players, you know, they didn't get a chance to be seen, that there were multiple evaluation periods in April. And all these young kids, class of 2021, 2022, even 2023, they would have been seen by colleges. You know, the 2021s who are trying to earn maybe their first scholarship offer, or maybe they're trying to go from low major to high major. You know, they would have been seen. So they haven't had a chance to be seen live. They haven't had a chance to show what they've been working on. So I think the general hope is that state high school associations will realize this is an opportunity for players to be seen. And really what we're talking about is what? We're talking about access to scholarships. That's what we're talking about when we talk about evaluation periods. Players need to be seen by colleges so they can get scholarships. And we're not just talking about IU and Purdue and Notre Dame and Louisville, Kentucky. We're talking about all of Division I. There's 351 Division I schools. Those are all full scholarship. You've got more than 200 Division II schools. They give scholarships. NAIA gives scholarships. D3 technically isn't, you know, scholarships, but there's a lot of financial aid that they come up with for players that they want. So what we're really talking about here, when state high school associations have to make decisions, are we going to let these things go on or not? They need to look kids in the eye and say, I'm going to give you an opportunity to have an access to earn a scholarship or not. That's really what this comes down to. So I certainly hope state high school associations really think through what we're talking about here.
Talking with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com about the proposed fall recruiting calendar, which would allow D1 coaches, two of them per university, to be on the road if this is all approved. And again, a big thing in this is if the localities, the states, the areas that these events that could happen are allowed to happen with rules from states and governor's offices based on what the standing of the coronavirus is at that time in each of the states and each of the areas of our country. Another recruiting prominent story right now, Jeff, is Trey Patterson at Rutgers Prep up in New Jersey. He's eliminated his list down to three schools. Indiana's on the list, set to make a decision Thursday evening. Indiana is strong with Patterson, it seems, but many people call Villanova the favorite. Where do you see this recruiting of Patterson and Indiana's chances as this thing heads into the final day and a half?
Yeah, Indiana, and especially Bruiser Flynn, did a phenomenal job recruiting Trey and his entire family, really. Bruiser got the whole family to IU during the fall for a junior year official visit. That went incredibly well. That was really the moment that IU had a legit shot. You know, I think after that visit, I was pretty convinced whatever the final list was, 5, 8, 10, whatever, I was very convinced IU was going to be on it. And I think you know, Bruiser deserves a lot of credit because getting a kid from the Philly area to take Indiana seriously took a lot of work. So I do think IU did a really good job to get to the final three. I also do think IU would be the surprise pick on Thursday. I think it's going to be tough to get Patterson away from Villanova. You know, and if for some reason something happens there and he decides that's not the place for him, there are some, I would say probably reasonably long-standing ties to Florida that might be tough to jump. Now, I'm not saying IU can't pull a rabbit out of its hat. We've seen surprises before. You know what recruiting's like. Surprises are just part of the deal. So Surprise is always possible, but Indiana would be the surprise pick on Thursday for Trey Patterson.
Jeff, this is another familiar topic when you and I chat. It's been a while, but I want to bring it up and see what you think. Indiana has recruited Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek extremely hard through the quarantine, through the downtime, through no AAU, no high school basketball. Any update in your thoughts on where Archie Miller and the staff stand with Trey Kaufman, who I think we still would recognize as Indiana's number one prospect out there in the 2021 class?
Yeah, Indiana's still in a really good position. Trey Kaufman was one of those players that they identified very early, went and saw early. Communication started early. Communication has been incredibly consistent. IU assistant Tom Ostrom and Archie Miller both have done a terrific job on that. They've been in touch with him very consistently. So Indiana's still in a really good position. Obviously, you've got some other schools that are trying hard as well. Tony Bennett in Virginia are certainly trying very hard to get him to campus out there. North Carolina is kind of there, sort of there. They're trying to decide, well, you know, whether they're going to go hard or not. Kentucky's been reaching out somewhat. Louisville certainly is working on them hard. Louisville definitely matters. Purdue, Xavier, a couple others maybe are working very hard to stay in the mix. So there's a group there, but Indiana certainly. You know, they've done a really good job. They've done a very good job showing him the plan, building relationships, maintaining relationships, staying in touch. You know, I was talking to Trey, a week or so back, and we were talking about some things, and he did say that one of the things he really enjoys about his conversations with Indiana is sometimes it's not even about basketball recruiting. Sometimes it's life, coronavirus. How do you handle this? How do you handle that? Just, you know, there's a lot that goes on in life. And as you know, being around high school kids, they don't sit around and think about their recruitment 24 hours a day. I'd be willing to wager more than a couple quarters, fans think about recruitments oftentimes more than the kids getting recruited do, because they're kids. You know, they're going about their lives and they're doing their things. To answer your question and wrap this up, Indiana's in a good space. That's certainly one of the recruitments for Indiana that you definitely want to pay attention to.
Talking with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com, IU Basketball. We haven't talked for a while, so I'm curious your kind of thoughts on the Hoosiers for next season. There's been some buzz around the roster. Of course, Christian Lander reclassifying gave Indiana a boost. They started to appear in some national way too early rankings that are out there. But I think the hopes are high from the fan base and from even some of the national college basketball media that this Indiana team for next season can be a contender in the Big Ten Conference and can be someone that takes a team that takes some steps forward in this next season. How do you gauge the Hoosiers right now at this way early point of the offseason?
Yeah, I think there's several things that lead to optimism. You've got talent experience coming back. You know, the best player, Trace Jackson Davis, comes back. You've got other players who are very good, maybe complementary roles, but certainly very good players. Joey Brunk's position defense on the interior was pretty much key reasons they won the Ohio State and Michigan State games at home. Race Thompson really emerged late in the season. Jerome Hunter made 16 threes over his last 10 games. It's an average of 1.6 made threes per game. Even a dumb sports writer like I can divide by 10 there. The way he shoots, down the stretch was very good. You know, Al Durham had a very solid season. You know, Rob Dennessy was up and down a little bit, but, you know, had a little bit of an abdominal issue. And, you know, my understanding is that's all healed. So, you know, to have a junior point guard who has started for 3 years, that's one of those things that often portends good things in NI major conferences. You know, and then you complement that, and then you still got Armon Franklin, who obviously started some games as a freshman. He'll be back. I think you look at guys who are going to be good or going to be solid role players, and you kind of know what you're going to get. I think three guys I look at to have a chance to make some jumps: Armon Franklin, Race Thompson, Jerome Hunter. I think those are the three guys I look at who can say, okay, if those three guys all make expected jumps, maybe even a little better than expected, then I think Indiana's be good, because I think Rob Dennessy's going to be fine. I think Race Thompson you know, I think he's got a chance to make a jump. Joey Brunk's going to be really solid on defense, on the interior, get boards. I think, you know, you got a pretty good handle of Trace Jackson Davis is going to be terrific. And by the way, this is a little tidbit. Trace Jackson Davis has been hitting some jumpers in some workouts. So now, is he going to take jumpers in games? I don't know. It's June. We'll see. But just letting folks know, he has been making some jumpers. So that's kind of interesting as well. So I think you've got guys you look at and you say, you know what you're going to get from this group? You've got guys you look at and say, they ought to make improvements. I think IU is going to be a little bit better from three-point range. I do think they need to produce more points from three. It's not just percentage-wise being better, but it's points produced. Last year, they ranked 326th out of 351 Division I teams in points produced from the arc. That's got to get better. Doesn't have to be great because they've got a good interior. They've got guys who can score inside. But it can't be in the 300s. And the other thing I think you look at is the defense has been really solid under Archie Miller. You know, last year they were 26th in the country in adjusted defensive efficiency. That's very good. And offense, even though they didn't shoot it well from three, they were still 65th best in offensive efficiency. So if your three-point shooting just goes from like 326 even to 160, 180, something like that, then all of a sudden your offensive efficiency is going to take a jump. And if you get top 50 in offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency, you're a really good team. And that's also a formula for sustained success. And that's why I think there's pretty good optimism about next year's team. And then, as you said, put Christian Lander, five-star point guard, who can shoot it, who can handle it, who can really play off the bounce. Vision, passing, ball delivery, all are truly at a five-star level. You know, I think there are legitimate reasons for optimism for next year.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, with us as we talk IU basketball and more here in this segment. Jeff, no question about it. There's excitement, optimism for the upcoming season. I'm curious your thoughts as we talk about a return to sports, the NBA possibly coming back, it seems, in a bubble at Disney World in Orlando, and, of course, college football. There are preparations being made to return to sports across our country in some form, with or without fans, without, in many cases, your gauge on things as we think ahead to college football and college basketball. How important are the next couple months in this return to campus and COVID-19 screening and all the processes that are going on right now in our country as we start to look that direction?
Yeah, it's going to be an important time. You know, I think as you look at the NBA stuff, they just recently tested employees there at the Orlando airport, and there's more than 200 and some positive tests. It's a big number. That's a scary number, especially when you're talking about people who are dealing with visitors coming in and out. You know, Texas football has already had 6 players test positive. 15 players are now in quarantine. It's not a huge number on a football team, but 6 testing positives after basically a week on campus, or maybe a little over a week, I guess it is for Texas. You know, I've talked to some athletic administrators and they say, yeah, that's a real concern. Because what happens if 6 becomes 12 and 12 becomes 24 and 24 becomes 48, then all of a sudden you got to shut it down. So I think there are concerns, but what I hear from smart administrators is let's be calm. Let's test and make sure our athletes are as healthy as we can make them. Let's not make any like rational, extreme decisions either way as far as, well, we're going to play no matter what. No, that's silly to say. Or, well, hey, you know, there's a couple positives, so we got to shut it down. Okay, no, that's a little extreme too. So the people that I know who I would call smart administrators are pretty calm, very thoughtful, gathering data, and putting together possible scenarios. Okay, you know, can we play college football without fans? Yes, we can. Well, how would it work? What would it look like? Okay, put that plan in place. What if maybe you go to something along the lines of 25% capacity? You know, that's being discussed. A number of schools I know are saying, discussing the idea of if you want to come inside the stadium, you have to wear a mask. So I think that's going to get discussed. I think that's got some support. I know people have different opinions about that. I'm just saying, I think medical experts are telling universities, you know, people who wear masks have a much lower chance of transmitting the virus, so just have everybody wear masks. So I think that's going to get some support. Exactly what happens, you know, we'll see. Again, it's June. You know, there's a lot of time here. There really is. But schools like IU and some others, I think, are doing a really smart thing of putting in place behind the scenes lots of contingency plans. Okay, this is an option, that's an option. I don't mean just A, B, C, D. I mean, they're way down the line. You know, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities, and they're putting them together in a contingency type setting so that they can look at things. And as we get to August, okay, what makes the most sense for the health of the players, for the health of the coaches, and for the overall health of the fans? And I think one thing that has gotten a little bit ignored is health of the coaches. You do have in college football a number of head coaches and assistant coaches who are 50 and older. So the health of the coaches is part of the equation as colleges themselves look at it. That hasn't gotten a lot of attention. It's not really a sexy story or anything. But that's one of those kind of things that's getting a little bit of conversation now behind the scenes. How do we make sure that we keep our coaches healthy? So I think right now, I still think college football being played is the most likely scenario, because you can play it. I think if you play it with no fans, that in the eyes of most fans would be, quote, worst case scenario with games getting played. But you could still watch it on TV. TV cameras could still be there. You know, obviously cameras can be placed well away from the athletes. So I think right now, from what I'm hearing from administrators, is that most likely college football gets played. The big question is, will there be fans or not? And if so, what percentage of a stadium will be allowed? But again, it's June. We're all living in a day-by-day world right now. But I do think right now, more than likely, we do have some form of college football this fall. Now, schedules may get adjusted. Timing of games may get adjusted. Travel may get adjusted. Whether or not everybody's spending, you know, $250,000 to charter everywhere, we'll see if that happens. But I do think right now it's better than 50% chance we have some form of college football this fall.
Jeff Rapp, JohnsPeaks.com. Jeff, thanks for coming on in short notice. Great to catch up with you again, and we'll do it again very soon.
Always great talking with you, my friend. Take care. Stay healthy. We'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Jeff Rapp, Johns on IU basketball and more. We'll head to a commercial break and come back with Josh Cook. He's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. We'll recap last night's online Netsby Awards. Lots of winners from the area. And that segment presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt, coming your way next here on The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here on this Wednesday program. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is with me, presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your apparel needs, including T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items, screen printing, embroidery, fully sublimated uniforms, whatever you may need. Let Major League outfit your team or organization today. You can visit mlshirtco.com to find out more. Josh, we have some time for a quick recap of the Netsby Awards last night. A little different than normal. It was all online, but still a first-class presentation. We got to recognize a lot of top athletes and others in our high school sports community here in Southern Indiana. And I tell you what, a number of big winners last night.
Yeah, definitely. We were excited for the Netsbys, even though they were online this year. You know, it was something different. And so we tried to have a little fun with it. And, you know, we hope everybody enjoyed it. But yeah, it was there were a lot of winners last night, obviously. no spring sports, unfortunately, but you know, Floyd Central, I believe, had the most winners. I think they won 9 categories, and then the big individual winners. I think Trey Kaufman at Silver Creek won 2 awards, and so did Floyd Central wrestler Jonathan Kervin, and Providence's Natalie Bozing won 2, and Allie Horney won 2 as well for Providence.
Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Lots of winners, as you said. Got to talk about boys basketball first. I mentioned this in our headlines today, but Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek, an underclassman, back for a senior year of basketball. He wins the boys basketball player of the year, beating out some other really good choices as well. I know that we're excited about him, not just his senior year, but where is he going to go to college and which big Division I program is he going to choose? And he continues to be a headline player for our area. And to win it as an underclassman, that's a big statement. We've seen that before with Romeo Langford, and we're seeing it again now with Trey Kaufman.
Heck yeah. You know, heck of a player. Obviously, he was a Gatorade Player of the Year in Indiana too, so that was quite an accomplishment for him. But yeah, I mean, I'd put this Clark and Floyd counties, if we could come up with an all-star team from Clark and Floyd counties, I'd put it up against pretty much any other counties and, you know, 2 counties in the state as far as that goes. I mean, we had, you know, obviously the other finalists were Trey Coleman, Indiana all-star, and Jake Heitbreer of Floyd Central, who, you know, was going to be a junior all-star this year and should have a good shot at being an all-star next year when he's a senior. And that's not even to mention, you know, other guys like Cooper Jacoby and, you know, who had another great year at Silver Creek.
Trey also won the Boys Player of the Year. That's the overall player of the year from all sports, looking at top performances. And then on the girls' side, Player of the Year, Allie Hornung of Providence Volleyball. Obviously, she was also the Volleyball Player of the Year award winner last night. So from top to bottom in all sports, and again, you mentioned, unfortunately, no spring sports honored, as there wasn't a spring sports season, but a lot of winners in a lot of different categories. Floyd Central did lead the way. You mentioned that as well, including Todd Sturgeon. Their basketball coach was named Coach of the Year after guiding the Highlanders to their first sectional championship in 30-plus years.
Yeah, that was you know, we have a committee that decides the winners, and that was definitely one of the big awards. That was a little inside info. That was definitely one of the big debates, you know, of who should win that. And, you know, there were so many good candidates for that award this year that it was really hard to come to a final decision. And yeah, but just a great year for Floyd, first sectional title in 31 years, and, you know, great year.
Talking with Josh Cook, he's sports editor of the News and Tribune. This segment is brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. If you're looking to raise money for your team or event, now that some events and teams getting back together, let Major League Shirt Company's online fan stores work for you. You can outfit your fans and raise money with very little effort. Major League even does all the sorting. All you've got to do is cash the check. You can find out more at MLShirtCo.com. Josh, the Netsbys are in the book for this year. Normally that signals the end of a very hectic spring of high school sports and, of course, the Netsby Awards. Now we can start to look to the fall, and I know that we've spent so much time talking about the return of sports, college, professional, and does high school sports actually happen in the fall? There's a push for it. We'll have to see how things go. But I do want to talk about the fall for just a moment, because last night, Winkers Wright of Floyd Central was the football player of the year, and that kind of got me thinking about the upcoming football season, we hope. I think the Highlanders, they return a lot of solid players. Winkers Wright will be at the top of that list for Floyd. They have an opportunity, I think, to be the front runner in high school football here in our area.
Yeah. I would put them, you know, on. I would pencil them in as probably the best team in Clark and Floyd counties. They have a lot coming back, like you said, Winkers and quarterback Tristan Polk, and then, you know, the big lineman Zinn, who's already committed to Louisville, who's really done quite a transformation on his body over the last year. He's really gotten a lot bigger and stronger, and so yeah, there should be a lot of pressure on Coach Bragg this season to repeat as sectional champs and maybe win a regional. We'll see.
Yeah, let's hope that we continue to have football to talk about and look forward to as we get deeper into the summer. And, of course, workouts expected to begin in July for not just football but a lot of sports. But that's going to be so important to see workouts begin and hopefully health numbers stay reasonably okay so there can be a football and really a fall sports season across all high school sports here in our state. Josh, as always, great to catch up. Good work on the Nets piece. Normally, we're out there, we're set up, we're involved, we've got a pre-show, we're interviewing athletes as they arrive. A little different this year because of the virtual way the ceremony had to be put forth because of the pandemic. So let's hope that we can get to that next year. But I know a lot of work went into that from your perspective and others as well at the News and Tribune. So hats off for another job well done, albeit a virtual situation this year, still a good one, and we appreciate that.
Thanks so much, Matt. I appreciate it. And yeah, we'll look forward to doing this next year in person.
Absolutely. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. That wraps it up for today. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. Thanks for being with us. We'll return on Thursday with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Also, Robbie Valentine. He's at the Yum Center these days, working on a basketball camp with he and Wiley Brown, putting that together. And we'll have Robbie on tomorrow to talk about that, basketball in general, and lots more. That wraps up today's program. Thanks for being with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.